This afternoon in the Rose Garden, President Biden and congressional Democrats celebrate their $1.9 trillion coronavirus relief deal, which Biden signed into law yesterday. It will provide cash payments to most Americans starting as soon as this weekend.
In his primetime address last night, President Biden directed states to open vaccinations to all adults by May 1st. That's earlier than expected. And he said if Americans remain vigilant and stop the spread of the coronavirus, small groups of people should be able to hang out with each other on the 4th of July.
I will not relent until we beat this virus. But I need you, the American people. I need you. I need every American to do their part. And that's not hyperbole. I need you.
For more, let's bring in our Friday Politics Roundtable guests. Eugene Daniels is a political White House correspondent and co-author of The Political Playbook. Hi, Eugene.
Hi, how are you? Thanks for having me.
I am well. Thanks for being here. And Scott Wong is a senior staff writer at The Hill. Hey, Scott.
Hey, guys. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. I know, right? So the president's speech last night started off pretty somber, but as the night went on, he gave very specific markers that Americans should aspire to if we want to actually get through this thing. Scott, what were some major takeaways for you?
Definitely. One that everyone should, all American adults should have the ability to get vaccinated by May 1st. That was obviously significant. And secondly, this idea giving Americans hope that they can gather with small groups of their family and friends for the July 4th celebration, something that we've all been longing for months and months. And I think the president is, doing this sort of balancing act. He's encouraging people to get vaccinated, to continue to be vigilant with wearing masks, emphasizing that we're not out of the woods yet, especially with all these variants, but he's also giving Americans a glimmer of hope because, let's face it, people are sick and tired of the pandemic, of what it's done to our families. They're emotionally exhausted. And I think for Democrats in the White House, there's a real concern that voters will turn against politicians who continue to be really rigid in advocating for lockdowns and restrictions. Mm-hmm. And so Americans are looking for that light at the end of the tunnel. And, Biden was trying to strike this balance.
Eugene, I want to bring you in here. What's your take? There was very much a we can fix it versus former President Trump's I alone can fix it. Do you think that Biden effectively addressed the needs of all American people?
I think the thing that they were trying to make sure they did, and you guys have talked about this, is make sure that he gave people kind of the lowdown on what's happening, but also gave them some things to look forward to. And he's looking back on the more than 500,000 people who've died in this country from COVID-19. And so it's a balance that's, perfect for Joe Biden, who has made his entire career off being kind of like being empathetic with people who are in grief, mostly because of the grief in his own life. He didn't spend a lot of time talking about the policy of this COVID relief bill, right? So he made sure not to open himself up to critiques that this was all about politics. And this focus on what people can do soon, as long as we get together, it's completely different than what we heard from the last 4 years with President Trump, almost at tenfold, especially because, we haven't had a lot of speeches from President Biden. The media has been asking when he's going to do a press conference, and they've been doing what a lot of White Houses have done. They hold their star player for big moments like this, right? And that's exactly what we saw. It gave it this sense of gravitas, and I think they also wanted to give it a sense of history that they felt it deserved.
Before we move on from this, I want to bring up one other note. The president spoke out against a rise in attacks on Asian Americans during the pandemic. Let's listen.
They're forced to live in fear for their lives just walking down streets in America. It's wrong, it's un-American, and it must stop.
Scott, how notable was it for a U.S. president to acknowledge one of the continual hate crimes that critics believe bore out of former President Trump's blaming of the virus on China?
Yeah, what a 360-degree turn from President Trump, who actually just this week issued yet another statement calling the coronavirus the China virus in a written statement. President Biden obviously has made these hate crimes and you know, the anti-Asian rhetoric a priority of his administration. And it goes hand in hand with some of the legislation we're seeing on Capitol Hill from Congresswoman Grace Meng and Senator Mazie Hirono, who have a new hate crimes bill that provides more resources and makes it easier for local communities to report hate crimes that are related to COVID-19 and some of this anti-Asian rhetoric we're seeing.
Eugene, why don't we shift gears here and talk about that relief bill? Starting next week, Biden and his surrogates are going to start a multi-state campaign to try to sell the new COVID package. Really, it starts today when Biden is in the Rose Garden. But how important is it, do you think, that Democrats get out there and try to control the narrative on this bill?
I think for them, it's one of the most important parts about this bill, now that it's signed and now that things are happening. President Biden was vice president in 2009, and he's talked about how that President Obama, his former boss, should have sold his own stimulus bill in a different way. And I think they have an easier way to do this. This is a bill that isn't going to auto companies. This isn't going to big banks. This is going to people's pockets, right? You have $1,400, the most money that anybody has gotten during this entire pandemic, going into people's pockets. They need to get out front and own that. And especially the fact that there were no Republican votes on this, the thing that you're probably going to see from not just Biden Harrison, but also most importantly, their surrogates all over television, different ads that we're going to start seeing, is that the Democrats did this. The Democrats put all this money in your pockets, and it's really popular, right? This bill is in the 60s and 70s consistently. They also have to make sure that when it rolls out, the benefits roll out correctly. There's not a lot of administrative issues. And so the balance between those things is really important. But the PR, as you know, we're talking politics, and the PR of that is huge.
Yeah, Scott, what about Republicans? Because here's House Speaker Nancy Pelosi slamming them because not a single one voted for the bill.
Unfortunately, Republicans, as I say, vote no and take the dough. You see already some of them claiming, oh, this is a good thing or that's a good thing, but they couldn't give it a vote.
Eugene kind of hinted at this. How successful will Republicans be trying to attack this bill as, rampant liberal overspending when it is pretty popular with the American public, at least so far?
Right. And Republicans who I spoke to on Capitol Hill this week say that the 2022 election is a long time away. Yes, there are certain provisions, including those $1,400 stimulus checks that are very popular right now. But they say wait until the fall of 2022. They're betting that that spending and fiscal issues and debt and deficits will be an issue that voters care about, in a year and a half from now, when both the House and Senate will be up for election, and when Republicans believe they have a real shot at taking back those two majorities, which are very slim majorities at the moment in favor of Democrats. And so they're playing the longer game. It's still, these provisions are still very critical and important and popular. But Republicans believe that the more and more we learn about some of these provisions that are in the bill, and we are actually still learning some of the details, that voters will be turning against some of the other provisions, in the coming months and into 2022.
I want to ask you guys. Scott, yes. Yeah.
Just to add to what Scott was saying, the Republicans are going to work on doing that. But the difference is, as opposed to 2009, for example, their party is different. And the caring about the deficit, that isn't exactly how the last 4 years, the 4 years of the Trump presidency went, right? It was not something that former President Trump really cared that much about. And they passed their own, high tax cut bill. And a lot of that went to people who had, the top percents of this country. And so I think Republicans are going to have to contend with the fact that the base doesn't actually seem to care that much about the deficit, even if now on Capitol Hill they've kind of found their religion again after the last 4 years.
All right. Well, listen, I want to play one more piece of tape here, and this is all of the living ex-presidents, except Donald Trump, were in an ad urging people to get vaccinated. Let's listen.
I'm getting vaccinated because we want this pandemic to end as soon as possible.
So we urge you to get vaccinated when it's available to you.
So roll up your sleeve and do your part.
This is our shot.
Now it's up to you.
So, Scott, where has former President Trump been this week during this, a lot of big Biden moments?
We really have not seen too much of Trump. We've seen some statements from the president. These are written statements that sort of resemble tweets. But as we know, he has been banned from Twitter. He continues to be banned from Twitter. And so we haven't seen or heard from him too much.
Well, Scott, we got to leave it there. Scott Wong, senior staff writer at The Hill, and Eugene Daniels, Politico White House correspondent and co-author of Politico Playbook. Thanks to you both.